This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Top beer. Top beer. Top beer.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Top Beer. This week we're doing porters. With me, as always, is my good friend, my good companion, my good compatriot. If we were in Russia, I think that's what they would say, or would it be comrade? I'm not sure. Timothy Robert Buckner, how you doing, Tim?
Doing fantastic, fantastic out here. It's finally cooling off in hot and sweltering Southern California, so it's the perfect time of year to get back, dip our toes back into the darker waters.
Yes, exactly, and. And if my understanding of a porter is correct, and also what I pulled up on Wikipedia, it is a dark style beer that was originally developed in London from well-hopped beers made from brown malt. Now, here's the thing, and I think I said it before, I stopped drinking the darker stuff a while ago because I've gotten into the more sour, more bitter stuff like IPAs and saisons and things like that. But I think it's good. I think this is the perfect time to start dipping our toes, like you said, back into in this style of beer. And also, I mean, there's a beer that we're going to start with tonight that I'm really excited about. Did you want to go first, Tim, or did you want me to go first?
Either way. Yeah, I don't mind. Either way.
Okay, I'll start it off since I am seen as how excited I am tonight. My first beer is from, surprise, Odell Brewing Company, which I've mentioned a lot on this show, and I want everybody to know, in the interest of full disclosure, we are not sponsored by them at all. I wish we were, but
yet.
We're not. And this is a beer I have not had from Odell's yet, but I'm excited to try it tonight. This is their Cutthroat Porter, Tim. This is a, let's see here. It was the story. There's always a nice little story on their labels. Not quite a stout, but definitely no lightweight. Cutthroat Porter is smooth and robust, inspired by the classic London porters. We use dark roasted malts to create a deep, rich malt color and flavor that hint as a chocolate and coffee. Cutthroat Porter is our tribute to the Colorado State fish, although we're big fans of small batches. Here's to the currently threatened cutthroat population reaching mass quantities. And the label, as I said before, their labels of Odell's labels are always very whimsical. I really love their art, their label art, and this one features a cutthroat fish above the name Cutthroat Porter with some mountains and some grass in the foreground. And let's see here, 5.0% alcohol by volume. And I think you've said it in the past, Tim, where you said that people always tend to think of porters and stouts as being higher ABV, but generally they're not, right? Generally they're kind of in the mid range as far as alcohol content goes, right?
Yeah, no, and I think it is. It's just because of that strong flavor, and a lot of the barrel aged ones will start to get up there, and also if they sit, they start to kind of ferment more. So if they're aged and they're oaked or whatever in those regards, then the alcohol quantities rise. But it's not inherent in the beer that it's going to be higher alcohol per volume just because it's a porter.
Gotcha, exactly. And you mentioned barrel aged beer, and I may have a little something interesting to talk about a little later on in this episode, so we'll see about that. But for now, let's go ahead and open her up. But all right, so I'm gonna pour this into my, I think it's called the pint glass, or I don't know if this is the exact type of glass that it's called, but this is basically the kind of glass that you would expect a dark beer to be in. I think it's a pint glass, or maybe it's a pub glass. Do you know? It's the one where it's kind of like a, it's got a big wide mouth, and it's got kind of like a curve towards the top of the glass. You know what I mean? Like that weird curve, not weird curve, but it's got like that sort of, it sort of bulges on,
yeah,
on the sides a little bit. Yeah. One of those.
There's a name for those. It's not pint glass. There's the straight up taper glass is what they call the pint glass. And honestly, pint just means how much volume it holds more than the style of glass. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. I like those ones with the little bubble up top. I don't know what that's for really, but I know that it's cool.
I think, I just spilled some beer on my laptop, a little droplet. I think that I read that little bulge has something to do with letting the foam kind of stay in that sort of area, so you can kind of just keep the head there and get sort of the aromas from the beer, I think is what it's for. I may be wrong about that, but I remember reading about it. So this beer, it pours very dark, obviously. It doesn't have a lot of head. It's got a little bit of head, and it's got a nice sort of light brownish color. Yeah, you can barely see through that. It's like that's how dark it is. Smells really good. This smells exactly what you would expect it to smell. It's shining a light underneath it. There's a lot of good carbonation going up in there. And let's go ahead and give her a try, shall we?
Let's do it.
First impressions. You know what this reminds me of? And this is why I almost feel like this might be a slight repeat of the dark style beers we did before. This reminds me of the Baba Dark Ale from Uinta Brewing Company. Remember that? It reminds me of that, but it doesn't have as bitter of a taste to it, if that makes sense, because I feel like the Baba has a slightly more bitter taste. This doesn't have that. This actually is less bitter, and it goes down pretty smooth. And it kind of reminds me of back in the days when I would drink Guinness, which is a stout, obviously. But I remember enjoying it because it went down a lot smoother than the beers I was used to drinking at the time, which is mostly like, what, your Bud Lights, your Coronas, and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. This beer doesn't do that, though. This goes down just as smooth as a Guinness. It definitely has that malty, sort of chocolatey coffee flavor that you would expect from a porter. I know that porters, like, for example, on the Wikipedia page, it mentions they're made from well-hopped beers. I never really get the hop flavor in these type of beers. Maybe it's just me, but it's good, though. This is a beer that I could probably enjoy more than that Baba. In fact, I still have a can of that in the fridge, by the way, that I haven't drank. Mm-hmm. This is really good, though. I think I could enjoy this beer on a regular basis.
Interesting.
And to give you really quick the rating on Rate Beer, 92-94, Tim. So 92 for the overall, 94 for the style. So it's got a really good score, and it is a really good beer. I mean, it's by Odell, so that shouldn't be surprising. I mean, it's for the type of beer that it is, it's got like an almost perfect score, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, I just keep sipping on it. That's how good it is. This is definitely the kind of beer that I think could get me back into like stouts and porters now that we are approaching winter time and it's going to be, you know, colder outside. And obviously here where I am, it snows. So this is the kind of beer that I could easily see myself drinking on a cold, snowy day, just kind of staying in the house with the heater on, watching some Netflix and enjoying myself a good porter. So what is your first beer tonight, Tim?
My first beer is from Deschutes Brewing, which is out of Oregon, Oregon, America. they are from Bend, Deep Bend, Oregon, and it is the Black Butte or Boot, or it's B-U-T-T-E, so I guess you'd pronounce it Boot or Butte Porter, and I think it's kind of one of Deschutes' flagship beers. I think they're known more for this. Kind of their breakout. Then they had some of the IPAs, like that Chainbreaker, which is a white IPA that came out. But this is kind of their – what they're known for is this Black Butte. So that pours super dark. It's got that kind of brownie tinge to the head, which is nice and thick. Let's give it a sniff. Huh, it's not – it doesn't really smell like a porter too much, honestly. And the nose, it smells kind of like – the nose is almost any beer, I think.
Really?
Yeah, maybe a little sweet, maybe a little vanilla chocolate in there.
My experience, any beer that says it has vanilla in it, I swear to you, I've never tasted it. The only vanilla I've ever tasted in any drink I've had, Tim, was vanilla Coke. That's I don't know, maybe vanilla is just such a base flavor that it kind of just gets – diluted very well in whatever beer it's mixed in. I mean, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so what does it say here? A slight hop bitterness up front enhances the distinctive chocolate and roasted finish. It's prized for its creamy mouthfeel and intense complex flavor. So let's see what I think of this one. Oh, yeah. You know, it does. It does have a little hoppiness, but like on the last – or actually, yeah, I guess it was last week. Maybe it was the shot. It was the shot last week how I talked about the beer having a kind of shitty hanging out on your mouth feel. This one doesn't have that at all. It gives you a nice little hoppiness in the beginning and then smooths over into the porter. It's nice and creamy. I can definitely see that. The creamy mouth feel, kind of roasty, toasty coffee comp. Yeah, this is this is good stuff. I could definitely see myself drinking a few of these.
It doesn't have any kind of. I feel like maybe that's the difference between porters and stouts and versus black style is that maybe these aren't as bitter as those type of beers. Or am I wrong in saying that?
This is definitely bitter up front and then smooths out in the bottom. And yeah, that's probably going to be the black style stuff can run the gambit. I mean, we tried so many different things. You had, you know, a dark Belgian strong style, you know, and then we also had like black lagers, black IPAs, you know, so that goes all over the place. So realistically, I can see what you're saying though. There is a little bit, there can sometimes be like a roasted malt can come through a little bit, I guess, burnt. It just kind of over roasts you.
Yeah.
And you get too much of the roasted. This is nice and smooth and creamy. So they probably put a little bit more effort into that side of things when it's intentionally meant to be a porter as opposed to just a black style. Sometimes the black styles can actually come across with more of an over roasted malt profile than what you want. I think just because they're concerned that the black style is not going to come through if it's not extra roasty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And I don't mind the roastiness. It really separates, I think, these porters and stouts from like most other beers. But when it comes to when it was the dark styles, like that roastiness, I don't know, maybe it was a bit too bitter, but with this beer anyway, and it sounds like with yours, like that roasty profile or whatever you would call it is just like just the right balance, you know, with all the other flavors that you have going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, perfect. Perfectly is. And okay, so this is 5.2% alcohol per volume, which is not crazy.
No.
And overall 96, style 98. So this is hitting it out of the park. This is really greatly appreciated by the masses, I guess.
There you go. Awesome, Tim. Well, I think what we should do now is take a little quick break, and when we come back, we'll move on to our second beer. What do you think, Tim?
That sounds fantastic.
All right, let's do it.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
All right, we're back. And really quick, a little bit more info from courtesy of Wikipedia about porters. And because I was thinking about this, and I bring this up because I was like, what is really the difference between stouts and porters, right? And according to Wikipedia, it says, the history and development of stout and porter are intertwined. The name stout, as used for a dark beer, is believed to have come about because strong porters were marketed under such names as extra porter, double porter, and stout porter. The term stout porter would later be shortened to just stout. For example, Guinness Extra Stout was really just originally just called Extra Superior Porter and was only given the name Extra Stout in 1840. Interesting thing about that is I remember one time, this is around the time that I was drinking Guinness, and I was like, oh, I love Guinness. This is like the best beer ever. This is way better than anything I've ever had. And I saw one time in the grocery store, Guinness Extra Stout. This has to be good, right? Mm-hmm. Wrong. I was like, wait a minute. This does not taste like Guinness. This is too, the flavor of this is, I don't like this at all. I couldn't drink it. Like I couldn't even finish it. That's how much I disliked it at the time. I feel like if I were to try that now, I would probably enjoy it. Have you ever had the Guinness Extra Stout, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, from the way that they're talking about it there, though, I don't even know if it's really a different thing, is it? I don't.
It sounds like it's more. It was almost like a more of a marketing thing than anything, than an actual technical thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like you, at that point, you would only drink stout on tap.
Yeah.
And I mean, so then you, or Guinness on tap.
Yeah.
And then from there you had it out of a bottle that said extra stout and you did. I'm trying to figure out if that's a different kind of Guinness or not, if that, or why it was you didn't like it. I'm trying to figure that out.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just remember, like, I loved Guinness at the time. Then I tried the Guinness Extra Stout, and I was like, ugh, this is not for me at all. This is not good.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened to me when the first time I tried a Smithwick's. You ever had Smithwick's?
I like Smithwick's. I like Smithwick's.
I forget what kind of Smithwick's. It was whatever. I was with my friend of mine named Eric McLeod. You know him, Tim. Mm-hmm. He was living in L.A. at the time. He was going to UCLA, and I remember I went to go hang out with him for a weekend. And we went to the grocery store to buy some beer, and I saw like Smithwick's, and I was like, "Oh, this looks interesting and different." And I remember I did not like that at all. It was just weird. I don't remember which kind it was exactly, but yeah.
I think they only have one kind.
You're probably right.
So stronger porters were just called stout porters, which I've heard before, which makes sense. I guess so. Stout is meant like. How the word is meant when you refer to a person being stout, they're kind of short and stocky, thick. So it's just saying like it's the same beer but thicker.
Right.
I guess is what it means.
Thicker than a bowl of oatmeal.
So that's very interesting the way that goes. Yeah. All right. So
my next beer, Tim, is from Ballast Point. I've never had Ballast Point. Have you?
Yes, I have. I've had many times.
This is called the Victory at Sea Porter with Coffee and Vanilla. Now here we go. This Ooh. Is gonna be the ultimate. We're gonna see if this actually has vanilla in it. Okay. The label reads: "A big porter crafted to weather any storm. Our Victory at Sea Imperial Porter is bold, smooth brew with just the right amount of sweetness. We infuse this robust porter with vanilla and San Diego's own Cafe Calabria coffee beans. The subtle roasted notes and minimal acidity of the cold brewed coffee balances perfectly with sweet caramel undertones of the malt, a winning combination for your palate." And the label art is a skeleton who it looks like he's in he's working the steering of a ship of some kind, or the ship of a ship anyway, like an old school like pirate ship or something. And I would imagine he's some kind of a pirate because he's wearing what looks like a pirate hat, and he's got like a skeleton bird perched on his shoulders. That's kind of cool. I like the art on this. It's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely.
This is something Jack Sparrow would drink, I feel. Like, if this was around the time of Jack Sparrow, I feel like this is the kind of beer he would drink when he's not drinking rum, you know?
Yeah, no.
And I like that it says, this is a, what does it say? Let's see here. Just turn on this, please, switch porter. It says something about, like, this is something good for your life or whatever, but it's got, like, a skeleton on the label.
Yeah, right?
Let's try it out, shall we?
Yeah, let's give it a try.
All right. Ooh, you like that? You like that? Love that sound. All right, here we go. Ooh, that smells just out of the bottle. I can smell, like, a sweet coffee in there or something. Here we go. Oh, yeah. That bad boy's dark. Wow. The head on this is even darker than the head on the other beer I just had, Tim. This is like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this looks like I just poured, like, foamy chocolate milk in a glass. Like, that's literally what it looks like. Like, I poured it a little too fast, so I have, like, an inch thick of head, which is a bit much. Oh, yeah. That smells like coffee in a glass. Like, no joke. It's very dark. It's got that really, really dark red color. You know what I mean? Yeah, damn. Like, you can barely, like, if I shine my flashlight through it, like, you can barely see through the other side of it. That's how dark it is, Tim. All right, let's give it a sip, shall we?
Let's do it.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That bitter, semi-sweet coffee flavor to it. This tastes a lot more pronounced than the Cutthroat Porter I just had, and also you get a little bit of that, just a twinge of heat from the alcohol that's in it. What's ABV on this? Actually, I don't think I said that, did I? Where is it? It does not say the ABV on this. That's kind of strange, isn't it?
That is.
It does not say the ABV at all, but whatever.
It might have it on the Rate Beer page. Do you have that pulled up?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I do have that pulled up, as a matter of fact, on Rate Beer. Oh, you're going to love this, Tim. Guess what the score is on this bad boy?
Let's hear it.
100, 100.
No way.
Yes, sir. 100, 100. Now, let's see. The ABV on this is 10%. That's why. That's where the heat's coming from right there.
That makes sense.
I was like, where's this alcoholic fumes coming from? Oh, well, it's a 10% porter. Of course it is. So this would be the beer that they say is like when people think of a strong porter or whatever, like that's the kind of ABV they're thinking of. Now, as far as the vanilla taste, Tim, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. I don't know what it is.
Not getting it. Not getting it.
Maybe my palate just doesn't sense vanilla or something.
That must be it. You know, that Victory at Sea, it's pretty popular. They did a special tasting of a bunch of different styles of it at Phantom Carriage, a brewery that's come up on the podcast before.
We've been there.
A brewery that's hosted the podcast before.
Exactly.
They did a special night where they had multiple different styles of it, stuff with different things like peppers and vanilla and barrel age and all that, plus stuff on tap. So it's definitely a very popular beer. It's really good. I've had it before. I enjoy it. I know that there's an oyster. I don't know if they make an oyster version of the Victory at Sea, but I know that there's oyster stouts. So that would be very interesting. There was a peanut butter, I think. There was definitely peanut butter.
Oh, really?
Which is really good. Yeah, so I highly recommend it. And if you see a different style of it, also grab that too, because it's a real good base beer. And so all the kind of additive stuff is really good.
I hear stuff like peanut butter and this, all these different, it always sounds so gimmicky to me. Like I wish, like I hope that it tastes good as having that flavor, but also as a beer. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes it just seems like a gimmick. Because I've had jalapeno flavored beer, and it's like, no, I can't do that. You know,
it can be. The trick is always, is the beer itself good? If you've got a shitty beer that someone decided just to put stuff in, that's not good. But if you got a good beer and they put something in to make it better, that's what you're looking for, you know?
Gotcha.
All right. So what I got next here, it is the Anchor Brewing out of San Francisco. They say America's first craft brewery.
You said crap.
I almost said crap. That's that NorCal, SoCal beef coming out on me. Freudian slip there. No. They say that Anchor is the, you know, America's first craft brewery. And this is their Anchor Porter. It's definitely well appreciated from them. A lot of people, huge following for Anchor, huge following for the Anchor Porter. They're another brewery who doesn't do their porter. They don't do their porter year round. It's a seasonal thing. Not like the last one I had. The last one I had is a year round, you know, from Deschutes. They do that year round, but not Anchor. They do this only every now and then. It's made of the smallest, most traditional breweries in the world by the brewers of Anchor Steam. Old fashioned porter is virtually handmade with exceptional respect for the ancient art of brewing. We use 100% malted barley, generous amounts of fresh whole hops, entirely natural carbonation, and simple natural brewing process. This is like no other in the world. The deep black color and thick creamy head and the intensely rich flavor of Anchor Porter, made in San Francisco since 1974, earned its delicious and unique brew a worldwide reputation for outstanding quality. So yeah, this is the big time.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, people make a big deal out of it. I love Anchor's their art and the whole look of their bottles and cans. Real simple, does look old, has ship, you know, anchors and stuff like that, all played into an American iconography everywhere. It's just it's America's brewery. Like I said, it's the first craft brewery in America. It's fantastic stuff here, nice and thick, foamy head. Just like what you said, the foamy head is really dark.
Yeah.
Just pitch black, can't see through the beer even slightly.
Yeah, it's crazy how literally dark the color can be on these beers, you know?
Yeah, no. All right, so let's see. It's similar nose to the one before, but I'm getting a little bit more roasty coffee-ness coming through even on the nose.
Yeah.
Let's give her a taste.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, that bites more in the front. The other one had that slight hoppy bitterness in the front. This one is a porter through and through.
Yeah.
The second you start drinking it, it's definitely a porter, but it subsides quickly. It doesn't give you, like, any kind of bittering aftertaste that hangs out or anything like that. It's nice and roasty, but it's here and it's gone. It's super intense flavor the second it touches your tongue, and then as soon as you drink it, it's gone. So, yeah, this is solid stuff. Let me see here. I'm not getting a lot of coffee, really. Just more of that malty, just the roasted malt.
Yeah, see that's kind of how this Ballast Point is too. It's like not so much coffee, but that roasty, that maltiness is definitely like a big point, you know, when you're drinking it.
Yeah, no, definitely. This is solid. It's definitely a porter. It's, you know, but there's no, as you're talking about gimmickiness, there's no gimmickiness. This is straightforward beer. This is a porter.
It's a fantastic. No-frills porter. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, it really is. But it's solidly done. It's a stout porter without being a stout. You know, it's really, it's good stuff, honestly. Let's see. The rating is overall 99, style 100. And so, I can definitely see that.
It's pretty much perfect.
Yeah. So as I said, I can see that 100%. It's definitely porter through and through, handcrafted, as they say. They do all the work to make sure that, you know, this is the perfect porter, and it comes through. This stuff, it tastes great. It's, if I want a porter and I know that what I want is just a porter, then I'm going to grab this beer every time.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Meanwhile, something else, if you want something a little bit more gimmicky with some peanut butter or vanilla or coffee or this and that, barrel age, sure, there's other guys out there, but if you're just had a long day at work and you want your go-to porter, this is the one for you.
If you want your no-frills porter.
Yeah, exactly. And ABV is 5.6, so you can drink a couple of these without getting too smashed. You might get a little full. You'll probably get full before you'll get drunk, honestly, drinking this.
Pretty much, yeah. I used to find that whenever I drank Guinness, I could only have like one or two and I was done. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Guinness isn't – it's not a beer that – I feel like these beers in general are not beers you can just – like just drink all night, you know what I mean?
It's true.
And really quick, No Frills Porter, that's a good beer name right there.
That's a good jazz musician's name.
I was just thinking, like, you know how there's like different, like, people come up with like cool band names or interesting sounding band names, like we should do like cool beer names, like No Frills Porter, you know. That'd be one of them for sure. All right, Tim, well, anything else you want to say about your beer before we go to break?
I like this beer. That's it.
Awesome. Well, we'll go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do our third and final beer. And yeah, what do you think?
I think that sounds good.
Awesome. We'll be right back.
Placement Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlacementNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the PlacementNation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage wall pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Placement Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlacementNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlacementNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, we're back. So, Tim, I texted you a picture of my next beer. You said interesting. First of all, before we say what it is, can you tell me a little bit about why you thought it was interesting that I chose this beer?
That was
Let's
not
get a little
why...
meta here.
Do you really want to pull back the curtain here?
Yeah, why not?
That was not why I was saying interesting. It wasn't really about the beer so much as the fact that you were sending me a picture of the beer at that time.
Oh, okay. Because we were supposed to record that day, I think.
Because we were supposed to record at the very time that you were sending me a picture of a beer.
Yeah. I know. We weren't able to because I had to work and stuff, and that's my fault. I apologize.
So I just found it very interesting that you had a beer at the time that you said you wouldn't be able to record a podcast about us drinking beer. But you were just, I guess, just took a picture of it while you were at work or something?
No. I took a picture of it. I think that was before or after I went. I can't remember exactly when it was, but... Actually, no, I already had that picture saved on my phone, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I was at work, and I was like, I think I'll text Tim to tease him a little bit about the beer that we're going to do next time we do record when I'm not working, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Now, that is the truth. You know, you can believe me or you cannot believe me. That's up to you. I can't control what you do, obviously.
That's true. You can't control what I do.
But anyway, enough with the teasing, Tim. I have from Anderson Valley in Boonville, California. Have you ever been to Boonville? Are you familiar with Boonville at all? I've never heard of it.
No, but I'm very familiar with Anderson Valley. That's a fantastic brewery.
And this is their Salted Caramel Bourbon Barrel Aged Porter Malt Beverage Aged 6 months. And mm-hmm. Wild Turkey Bourbon Barrels. Now, Tim, since you're a little bit more well-versed on this type of thing, can you tell me a little bit about why they brew beers in barrels that they used to brew other types of alcoholic drinks in it? And, like, how does that work? Like, does the brewing company buy these barrels from people who make, like, bourbon and whiskey? Or do they, like, already have them? Like, do they brew both? Like, how does that work? Like, do you know?
Well, as it says there, those are Wild Turkey barrels that they used. So that Wild Turkey is a distiller of whiskey.
Okay.
Known for their 101 proof, which is one of the highest alcohol contents you can have.
Uh-huh.
So proof, this is the trick for anybody who's ever wondered, listening to this show about alcohol, if you've ever wanted to know a little something about alcohol, proof is actually just ABV times 2.
Really?
So 101, yeah. So 101 means that it's 50.5%. alcohol or ABV.
That is insane.
So it's 101 proof. So that means that whiskey is nearly half alcohol. It's actually over half alcohol. That's what Wild Turkey is kind of known for, their super high alcohol content whiskey that they make. And I mean, it's fine for a American. I would say, I don't think it's a bourbon. I think it's a whiskey. That's what it says, right? Wild Turkey whiskey barrels.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. So
yeah.
Does it say bourbon?
Aged 6 months in Wild Turkey bourbon barrels.
Okay, so it is a bourbon, which means that it's distilled in Kentucky. A certain part of Kentucky is where you have to be at to be bourbon.
Yeah, because bourbon is just Kentucky's version of whiskey, essentially, right?
It's whiskey that's made in a certain part of Kentucky.
And whiskey and Scotch are just two different names for the same thing, but geographically,
Scotch is like bourbon, in that Scotch has to be made in Scotland.
And whiskey is made in Ireland.
Or anywhere that's not Kentucky.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anywhere that's not Kentucky or Scotland, you make whiskey.
So like Tennessee whiskey, for example, right?
Would be whiskey, yeah.
Gotcha. Like Jack Daniels, I think is one of the bigger... Honestly, I don't know much about alcohol brands, but I do know that much, at least.
Right.
Go ahead.
So they got barrels from Wild Turkey manufacturer or distillery, and they aged their beer in there. Now, an interesting thing, you talked about Jim Beam. I think there's – not Jim Beam. Jack Daniels is doing a program now where they're getting the barrels that they sold or traded to breweries back and putting the whiskey back into the barrels that have now had beer in them.
Interesting.
So there's – beer barrel aged whiskeys, and there's whiskey barrel aged beers. And they're not brewed in the barrels, they're aged in the barrels. Gotcha. So after they're brewed, they come out of the tanks, they get put directly into the barrel, and then that's sealed off, and then they're allowed to just sit and age. So usually there'll be a second round or possibly third, just another round of yeast added when they go into the barrels to help it will continue fermenting in there. It will mellow out, as they say. A lot of times the flavors will become more subtle and everything will kind of mesh more, and you'll end up with a more kind of uniformed flavor, as opposed to some, you know, beers where you have lots of different flavors all throughout the beer as you taste it. It'll kind of turn into one uniformed flavor more. A lot of times it'll get a little sweeter and it'll get a little more alcoholy. And especially in whiskey barrels, you've got alcohol that's soaked into that wood, and that alcohol is going back into the beer as it kind of soaks out.
That almost sounds like, maybe it's not the right word, but that sounds almost visceral to me. Like, you to age something in a piece of wood, the wood that soaked up all this stuff, and you kind of like soak up some of those flavors. Like, there's something very, I don't know, like that sounds awesome to me. Like it adds another layer to it than you would normally expect from a beer. You know what I mean? Because
yeah,
you think of beer being brewed in these big metal tanks, you know, it's like a very sterile, clean process. But when you brew it in like this a wooden barrel, it's like, I don't know, it had something more to it than what you would expect. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate the craftsmanship in that. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree. That beer that you have there in front of you, I know was probably close to like 15, 20 bucks for that bottle.
Something like that. I think I might pay a little bit less because I got it at World Market and I opened an account.
nice. But yeah, I know it's a pricey one, and I've been to places where they have that beer, barrel-aged, everything, on tap.
Nice.
And it's just, it's fantastic. It's a great beer. So, you know, you should be excited. You're about to have yourself a good beer.
I am.
But yeah, that's what the barrel aging process. It's just, it's really kind of maturing the beer. It's almost like taking your beer to graduate school.
I like that analogy. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and open this bad boy up. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Don't you just love that sound?
I do.
Okay, here we go. Hear that?
I can hear it.
And for those of you listening, by the way, I went ahead and bought myself a cool little mic stand, so I no longer have to hold the mic in my hands and, you know, pour beer at the same time. Okay, so this pours like the other beers we've had. It's got super dark color. The head is not as dark on this as the last one, as the Ballast Point beer I had just had. The head on this, the very similar color to the Cutthroat Porter I just had. And it, you know what? It goes down really fast. That's one of the most annoying things about Guinness, by the way. Remember we'd go to like a bar and I would order a Guinness. I have to wait like 5 minutes for the guy to pour it because there's so much, there's so much head in that. You have to wait for the head to go down. With this beer, that's not the case, Tim. It goes down pretty quick, actually.
Good. That's what we want.
Ooh, I'm getting a lot of the aroma of this is really good. It smells a lot different from the last two beers I had. Let's go ahead and give that a sip, shall we?
Let's do it.
Oh wow, that tastes. How do I explain it? How do I put it into words? That almost like when I sip it, it almost goes down a lot faster and it almost evaporates faster in my mouth than the last two beers. Like it doesn't stick around, but you still get a little bit of the fumes and the flavor from the beer itself. As far as taste goes, salted caramel, I definitely get it. I'm definitely getting that, as well as the sort of roasty malt flavor. But this tastes like let me give it another sip. Yeah, this tastes like something that you would expect from something that says salted caramel, but it's not like super strong or like, I don't know, in your face. You know what I mean? That flavor, it's like it's mixed very well, and I can see how they say when it's aged in bourbon barrels, it kind of has that sort of bourbon slash whiskey kind of flavor to it, but obviously not strong because it's not, you know, that alcohol. It's just like it's a beer, but it's aged in those barrels. You know what I mean?
I get what you mean.
It's a little, I guess what I'm saying is it's a little watery than the other beers. I don't know if that makes sense, but it doesn't seem like a beer per se, you know? It seems like like something else entirely. And I can almost, honestly, I can almost taste the wood. I don't know if that makes sense, but I can almost taste like the wood that it's you know, aged in, you know?
Yeah, you should. You should be able to.
And that's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. Like, this tastes really good. This almost tastes like a wine slash beer or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if those are the technical words for it, but this is delicious, Tim. This isn't something. Remember I had that Tart of Darkness or whatever, and that was super tart? This reminds me of that, but without the tartness, but with the same, but with a really good flavor that you enjoy, you know? This is delicious. This is seriously a really good beer. I wish you were here to try it, actually, because I got a big bottle of it.
Yeah, I wish I was there, too.
And by the way, 6% alcohol, so it's not super strong, so I feel like I could drink this whole bottle if I wanted to and not get, like, super wasted.
Nice.
Now, as far as the score, interestingly enough, Tim, the score on this 87 over 86. So 87 for the overall. 86 for the style, but I feel like that's a bit unfair, you know?
I could see, because the caramel people are like purists, and they think that the salted caramel flavor isn't, you know, real porter flavor.
No, I could see that. The salted caramel flavor is, I think it adds a lot to it, and I think it separates itself a lot from the last two porters I tried. I'm almost kind of surprised this even is a porter because of that flavor, but I think they didn't overdo it with that type of flavor. So I do feel like that score is a little bit unfair, because this is a really delicious beer, Tim.
I believe you. It's those nerds online.
Oh yeah, you know how people online can be.
It's true. I mean, look at Donald Trump is on the internet. Look at him on Twitter. He is a monster.
What do you have tonight?
Third beer is from a brewery that we mentioned recently, Mumford Brewing.
Ah, yes.
Out of beautiful downtown Los Angeles, California.
Skid Row.
And what makes that great is that this beer is called Skid Rokio.
No way.
Yeah.
They went that meta with it, huh?
Because they're in the same parking lot of Skid Rokio Productions, I guess, which is, a music company, I don't know, that gets their name from the fact that they're right by Little Tokyo and Skid Row. Or kind of in between the two.
We went to Little Tokyo one time. That was fun.
We did. It's a lot of fun there.
I think we got sushi or something, didn't we?
We probably had some sushi when we were in Little Tokyo.
And not to get off on too much of a tangent, we had black Asahi beer, which when
we
went back to the desert, we couldn't find it anywhere. And I still have yet to find
it. I haven't found that. I haven't found that anywhere. I've never seen that anywhere than that one sushi place that I used to go to all the time when I used to live closer to downtown.
We need to make that our mission for the show or something, because that was a delicious beer.
We need to have that beer, because that's the beer that started it all.
It is.
In some ways, I guess you could say that. I don't know. So I love Mumford Brewing. One thing that they do that's annoying is on their growlers they put tying twine, but it's cool tying twine. It's black and white, but I like to be able to hang my growlers. I have a little light post in my living room where I hang all my growler tags.
Nice. So instead of hanging your coat when you come home, you hang your growlers, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. So this is the Skid Rokio. It is the porter with Stumptown coffee. It's 5.7% alcohol per volume. I just took the time to rate it on Untappd myself. I'm going to go ahead and pour myself a glass. And this nice little growler that I have here has been sitting in the fridge waiting since we were supposed to record last week.
Well, think of it this way. You've aged a little bit more, and that adds more to the flavor.
Yeah.
So you're welcome, Tim. You're welcome.
That's not how growlers work. They don't age in growlers.
Oh, okay.
Pitch black. The head is ridiculous. It's like super chocolatey brown. The head looks like chocolate milk, as you were saying.
Yeah.
Earlier about the other one, like the head itself just looks like a glass of chocolate milk.
Oh, so yeah, definitely.
Super brown. Ooh, the coffee is like so strong on this one in the nose. You can smell the coffee on the smell. Like that's mostly what comes in. It smells like a cup of coffee, really. Like, have you ever had a cold brewed coffee?
I'm telling you, the Ballast Point one I had was basically like if you were to mix a coffee and a chocolate milk together, and bam, you have that beer. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, this tastes like you're chewing up roasted coffee beans. Like, have you ever done that? Have you ever eaten coffee beans?
No, never.
Yeah, that's what it tastes like.
That's crazy.
That's really mostly what comes through.
How does it differentiate itself from the other two beers you've had? Sorry to interrupt.
No. What it is it's got a very premium, strong coffee flavor, and the other ones didn't have that at all. There's a little bit of roastiness on the back end, but it's nice and thin. It's not full-bodied at all. Super dark, and the coffee just comes through great. So me, as someone who doesn't really like to drink coffee, but I do like to drink coffee beers, this is pretty fantastic to me. And as I said, it's not – the body's super thin, so I feel like I could drink quite a bit of this and not have any issues. It's like nice and light, but also rich and full-flavored. So I think this is a nice, well-balanced porter in that regard. It does not have a rate beer score because Mumford is just still so small, but it's got a 3.89 out of 5 on Untappd, which is pretty good. So yeah, I like this one. I think this is pretty good beer here.
That sounds really good, and you know, that's what I was saying. I think you mentioned that it's kind of a clear or whatever. Like that's kind of what I meant when I said watery. Do you know what I mean when I say watery?
Yeah, no.
Like physically, the liquid itself is more watery than other beers that I've had tonight. Then that's not a bad thing, obviously. I think in your case, it sounds like a really good beer. In my case, it's a really good beer. So that makes a lot of sense, Tim.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Mm. Okay, Tim. Well, that's great. I think what we should do now is go to one more break, right? And when we come back, we're going to announce our top beer. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. We'll be right back.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name. Now it will be known simply as Pro Wrestling Only. So it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Left Is from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
Okay, so we're back. So Tim, really quick, I wanted to talk about something that I can't remember now because I went off. I got completely off track mentally here. So never mind. Oh, actually, no. Here it is. Really quick about my last beer on the cap. You know what it says?
What's it say?
Solar powered brewery, Anderson Valley, in
Boonville. Oh yeah. I've seen that. It's a solar powered brewery.
I find that kind of interesting because you would think that a brewery would need a lot of power. So I guess the sun provides enough power to just be able to brew their beers normally, huh?
Yep. I mean, the sun's pretty powerful.
It is pretty powerful. I was thinking the other day that what if the Earth stopped spinning on its axis but kept spinning around the sun? Would the side of the Earth facing the sun eventually just burn up, and the side of the Earth not facing the sun just eventually freeze over? Like, is that how that works, or am I?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's how it works, right?
Yeah, I think that would happen.
Like, there's too much energy on one side, not enough on the other side, that eventually just kind of, you know.
It just pop.
Exactly. All right, Tim. Are you ready for this? I'm ready to announce my top beer for the
I'm
night.
I'm ready.
Okay. I think that it's pretty obvious. Anderson Valley Salted Caramel Bourbon Barrel Aged Porter is delicious. It is the most outstanding beer that I've had tonight. And I want to call it my top beer tonight, Tim.
You're going to go for the Anderson Valley?
I'm going for the Anderson Valley. This beer is something that I wish I had more of, actually. And I do have enough of that. That should not be a problem. So what's your top beer for tonight?
My top beer for the night, I think, is going to be the Anchor Porter.
Which is by?
Anchor Steam Brewing in San Francisco, California.
Perfect. Okay. Now, should we talk about why we like these the most, or what do you think?
Yeah, I guess I'll just give it. Like I said, I think it was a very solid, I mean, it was 100 score on Rate Beer for Style. And I think that's just it. It's very indicative of the Porter style beer. Solidly done, obviously crafted with intent and years of practice. So I just have to give it. I have to give them the nod for that. I really enjoyed it. The runner up is the Skid Rokio. I like it a lot because it's the strong coffee flavor. But I could definitely see the complaints on it being that it's not, you know, there's not a lot of super porterness to it. I guess is what I would say. It's just it's a lot of coffee and not a lot else. But it's really good for that. But The Anchor Porter, just, you know, like I said, if I'm going to drink a porter and I want it to be a porter's porter, it's going to be the Anchor Porter.
All right. And you know, I chose mine because I like something that stands out from the rest, but it is also good. Unlike that one beer you had a couple episodes back where it stood out from the rest. Yeah, but it was terrible.
harp on that coffee cider.
Yeah, exactly. But no, this one by Anderson Valley, it stands out from the rest, and it's delicious, and that's why I chose it as my top beer, even though it's got the lowest score of all the beers I've had tonight. I just think it's good, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's delicious. It's something just different from what I normally drink. You know what I mean? I never drink stuff like this, and I don't even like dark beers as much, but this one I could see myself drinking pretty much you know, whenever I can, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know.
So anyway, all right, Tim. Well, I think that about does it for this episode. I think we've done good tonight. Anything you want to plug or anything you want to talk about before we go?
No, this week in wrestling, got some very interesting shakeups coming up soon. So I definitely tell everyone to be on the lookout for that. Meanwhile, the next episode coming out, we finish up reviewing. Oh, actually, I'm trying to think of when this comes out. So when this comes out, we'll have just had the episode come out where we finish reviewing the AAW Jim Lineman tournament. So I definitely give that a listen. Otherwise, yeah, just follow on Twitter at Lucha Undead.
Exactly. Follow us on Twitter and follow me at Della Boots. And Tim, do you still use your old Twitter account at all? Mostly exclusively on Lucha Undead, huh?
Yeah, the other one's gone.
It's gone? Like you deleted it or?
No, I just don't use it.
You just don't use it. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I think that's about it. And yeah, follow me at Della Boots. And I wanted to share, I'm going to share an episode. I think I told you about this on the Shot episode. I mentioned a brewery that still brews their beer as they did in the 1800s. Really interesting video that I think everybody should watch. And I almost feel like some of the beers we've had tonight are the type of beers that would have been brewed back in those days. And that sort of, they have that sort of dull, dark, malty, bourbon-aged flavors that you would almost think that maybe back in the day that's the kind of stuff people would drink. You know what I mean? When they weren't drinking the hard stuff, they were drinking this type of stuff anyway. So anyway, all right, Tim. Well, I think we're good. I think that about wraps it up. Tune in next week. I think we're going to have some good guests and some good beers coming up.
All right, Adrian. Well, as always, as we like to tell the people as we leave, life is all about the three Bs, right?
What are those three Bs, Tim?
Good beers, good buds, and good banter. Good night.